to build the churches. Amen. So it is God who builds churches, but God uses people as tools in his hand to build or to accomplish what he sets himself to do. Amen. Now, are these people special people? Are these people extraordinary people? Will God use someone like you? Will God use someone like me? Hallelujah. Is God interested in regular people? Who are the people that God uses to build his church? Hallelujah. And my answer to that question is that yes, God will use someone like you. Amen. God will use ordinary people. God will use regular people. And so I'm giving you 15 quick reasons why you can expect to be included and you can expect to be used by God. 15 reasons why your contribution to this work is significant. Amen. You don't like the air conditioner? Okay, so do you want the heat? Hey, Akwesi, what did you do? Off. Oh, no, just go off. Easy. All right. It's okay. Short time. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Right. Ben, you're welcome. What a shock, what a shock, what a shock, what a shock. Right. So what am I saying? I am saying that you can expect to make a very significant contribution to the work that God is doing in this church. Amen. With no matter who you are, even the younger ones, you're going to find out that God can use you to make an impact in this work. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm sharing this with us because I want all of us to believe that it's not the work or a work that God is just doing through the pastor. Do you see what I'm saying? But that God is looking to involve all of us in this great work that we are blessed to be involved with. Amen. So we're going to study Moses. And so let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Exodus. Exodus, and let's begin from chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And then our first point, number one. Number one reason why you can expect God to use you to make a difference to this work is because God uses failures. God uses people who have failed at something before. Hallelujah. How many have failed at something before? You've tried to do something and it didn't work. Raise up your hand. Let me see. Good. Now, often when you've tried to do something before and it didn't work, do you understand? It has a way of affecting how you see yourself subsequently. Is it not true? Right, okay. The rich people have come. So, Alaji and... You should say amen. Oh, when I confess wealth on you, you should say amen. Yes, I have come. Yeah. Chief Shegun. Yeah. Chief Shegun has come. Yeah. A rich man has come. You say, yes, Pastor, I have come. I have come. Yeah. And I'm the rich man you're talking about. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So just join us quickly. We just started. And I'm talking about 15 reasons why you can expect God to use you in this church. 15 reasons why you can expect to make a significant contribution. 15 reasons why you matter in what we are doing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Okay. And we are just on number one. Number one is that God uses failures. Do you understand? In other words, people who have not been so successful, or in other words, people who have actually failed before, because sometimes not being so successful is not the same as failing. You get it? Failing, it didn't work at all. Do you understand? Yeah. So when you've had that kind of an experience before, failed at something, you failed at a marriage, you failed at a relationship, you failed on the job, you've been fired before. Have you been fired from a job before? How many have been fired from a job before? Ben, you have. Yeah, Shegun, you have. Michael, you also have. I tell you. Hallelujah. I also have been fired from a job before. You get it. I went to work one day, and the guy said to me when I was leaving at the end of the day, today when you go, don't come back. You get it. This is the last day, you know. And I couldn't ask why. You know, the job just ended abruptly without notice, and that was it. Do you understand? Now, when you've gone through such experiences before, even failing an exam, when you failed an exam before, when you were expecting to pass, do you get it? You were expecting something different. And then you find out that you actually failed the exam. It has a way of leaving, attacking your long-term memory. Do you understand? Embedding itself in your long-term memory and trying to influence future decisions and your current perception of yourself. Is it not true? Yeah. So when you attempt to do something, the next thing, the devil quickly comes and says, my friend, there is nothing new under the sun. That which has been is what which will be. You get it? And so that tends to make us fold up, and it makes us expect very little of ourselves. Makes us sometimes not even want to try a new thing. Do you understand? Because we've seen ourselves having failed before, and we have labeled ourselves as failures, and we are not expecting God to use us. Hallelujah. But I want you to know tonight that in spite of your history, God still has his eye on you, as we see in the case of Moses in the book of Exodus. Hallelujah. Moses had tried to go and deliver some Egyptians and some Israelites in Egypt. You know, two Israelites were fighting, and then he went to try to separate them and to discuss the issue with them and to say that, look, my friends, don't behave like that. We're brothers. Do you understand? And it didn't work. Because the guys told him outright, who has made you judge over us? Who sent you to come and put, as in my language they say, to come and put your mouth in this matter? Do you understand? Is this any business of yours? Why are you coming to interfere with our lives? You know? And he must have felt very embarrassed. Oh, no, I'm just harmlessly. All I'm doing is just trying to separate the fight. I said, my friend, have we told you we can't separate our own fight? Have we even told you we are fighting? You get it? We are reasoning aloud. You see the thing? And the man must have been embarrassed, and it didn't work. Hallelujah. So having had that experience, someone like Moses would not imagine that God would be interested in him at all. For anything even greater than the small fight. You couldn't separate two people who are fighting. How much more to deliver a whole nation from Egypt? So he counted himself out. Do you understand? But God counted him in. Amen. Hallelujah. God told Moses that your past and your history has nothing to do with what I have to do with you today. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And it is important for us all to embrace that and understand that what we have tried or may have tried to do before, which did not work, has nothing to do with what we are trying to do now. Are you following what I'm saying? That God still believes in you. Amen? So in verse 11, it says, Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children out of Egypt? You know, at this point, he does not believe himself anymore. Do you get it? You see, he said, Who am I? In the first time, nobody even appointed him and he offered to go. When he went, it didn't work. So now that they are appointing him and sending him to go, he said, You know something? I have learned from my first experience that I'm nobody. Hallelujah. You see what I'm saying? I have learned from the first experience that I am nobody. So please, don't send me. Who am I that I should be the one to go to Pharaoh and that I should be... Can you see the emphasis on I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the people out of Egypt? Please, not me, Lord. You want to do your thing, go ahead and do it. You get it? If anything, I'll be an intercessor. I will pray that your project works, Lord. But do not send me. Hallelujah. But Moses' failure in the past, God did not think it had any bearing on what he was asking him to do. So God counted him in. And so that is how come you also are in. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In spite of having failed at something before, God still believes in you. God still believes that you can make a difference to this work. That is why he has made you join it at this time and at this stage. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is why he has called you onto the projects and onto the work site at this stage. Because he believes that you can make a difference. Amen. He believes that through you, people can be saved in Oakland. He believes that through you, a major church can exist in Oakland, making a difference in people's lives. God is not confused about that at all. God believes it. He believes it, Gloria. The Lord believes that you can lead a whole group, a whole room full of people in intense spiritual worship. Do you understand? And he believes it. That is why he has brought you in at this time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you went to a construction site and you saw a contractor there, it will only have one meaning. It will mean that it does not matter how many jobs he has failed at. Maybe he wired some apartment complex and the whole complex burns down. But as long as you are seeing him on the news site, it means somebody has decided that that does not matter. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And someone believes that he can make a difference on this site. And that is why he's there. So you have to believe that God has faith in you. And God has confidence in you. And God believes you can make a difference. Say amen. Amen. Number two, because God uses unworthy people. The second reason why you can expect to be used by God to make a difference to this work is because God uses unworthy people. You see, what question did Moses ask? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? I am not worthy. Do you understand? I am not worthy. I don't qualify. You see, and that is even more attractive to God, because then you give him more room to work. Do you understand? Because one of the main problems God has with using human beings is the constant wrestling between what we want and what he wants. Do you understand? It is a constant wrestling match between the Lord and us, his spirit and ourselves. Do you understand? His will and our own will. What he wants, the spirit and then the flesh. It is a war that continually goes on. Do you see? And so the less of you there is in anything, the more attractive you are to God. Because then the more of him there can be in that project. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the less of your own ideas you have, the more of God's ideas we can have. Is it not true? Yeah. The less of your own confidence that we have, the more of God's power we can experience. Hallelujah. The Bible says His strength is made perfect in weakness. You understand? So when you are weak and when you don't seem to have much to offer, when you feel that you are unworthy, do you understand? Then God suddenly thinks, yes, I have found the person. Do you understand? If you were looking for a cup to use, and you found two cups, one of them is half full with something, and the other one is empty, which one will you use? Exactly. Because you have a project, the project essentially involves filling the cup. So when you pick the cup up and it's already full of something, do you understand? Then two things you want to do. Either you drop the cup and pick another one, or if you must use that cup, you have to empty it. Are you getting what I'm saying? So even if you feel worthy, then you should get ready, because God is going to take you to unworthy. Do you understand? If you feel worthy, He's going to unworthy you so that He can make you worthy now by filling you with Himself. Can I have an amen? So that is the second reason why God, or why you can expect to make a big difference to this world. It's because you don't feel you make a difference, isn't it? It's because you don't feel that you are a church builder. You don't feel like you are some apostle that has been sent to the West Coast to make a difference. Is that how you feel, Akwesi? No. Yeah. Next week, we're going to make complimentary cards for all of you. Business cards for all of you. Apostle Michael, Apostle Shegun, Apostle Akwesi, Apostle Gloria. We're going to make business cards for all of you, and then you'll be sharing them around town. But the truth is that you don't feel worthy. Is it not the case? But it is this unworthy feeling you have that is going to be an asset to you and to God. Because it's going to be an attraction to God. It's going to make God see that, here is something I can use. We are always happy when we are looking for something to use and we find one that is empty and clean and ready to be used. Do you understand? We're just excited and we take it and we go all the way with it. We fill it with different kinds of things. But when you take some of the things, when you take it, you are not even sure what is in it. The thing is full of something. Or half full of something. And then you look at the something, you can't even make it out. You get it? And then you look at it, the thing seems to have a smell. Then the whole vessel starts to look repulsive to you. And you start to look around. Is there anything cleaner I can find? Is there anything more empty that I can find? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So your unworthiness is an attraction to God. Hallelujah. It's not something that works against you. Rather, it is qualifying you to be included in this great work that God is doing in the West Coast. Say amen. Amen. Wow. Number three. Because God uses people who have been rejected. Because God uses people who have been rejected. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, why am I saying that? I am saying that because many times we feel we don't make a difference because we've been rejected before. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Especially if you stood for even elections at school. Do you get it? And the people didn't vote for you. Or the people didn't choose you. Is there anybody who was not chosen when they were in school for something? You tried to do something and they didn't choose you. Yeah, Akwesi, what did you try to do? The second time they chose you. For financial secretary of what? Of the SRC. And the first time they didn't choose you. So how did you feel when you lost? You thought everybody liked you. Yeah. So did you make posters? You made posters and banners, everything, and then you went out and you posted them on walls. You wow. Vote for Akwesi. Akwesi is your man. Vote for Akwesi for what? Difference. To make a difference. Change you can believe in on this campus. Yeah. You know, all of us have felt rejected one way or the other before. You know, rejection comes anytime you apply for something and you are not taken. Do you get it? So even a job, when you apply for a job and they don't take you, especially when they tell you they've taken somebody else, I think you'll be happier if they told you the job is no longer. How many agree with what I'm saying? Yeah, it would be better if they tell you that, you know, we've changed our mind. We said we're going to hire someone to do this. But we have looked at our finances. We've reassessed the whole situation. We've decided that we can't afford another employee at this point. Or the position is no longer necessary because we've moved that department to another one of our offices. You know, or we've decided that we will add that job to the job of another person here because we can't afford it. So thank you so much for taking the time to come to the interview. But I'm sorry, we will consider you in future. We have all your details and we will file it. And in future, we will. I think that if you had something like that, you will feel a little comforted. You get it? But the worst one is when they tell you that, okay, we have a few more people to interview. Okay, and we will make a decision after that, and you will hear from us either way in 2 days. And then you go away, and you don't hear from them in 2 days. So after the third day, you call them, and they tell you, oh, sorry, the position. And you can't, and then your mind starts going back to the interview, and how well you thought you did. You get it? Yeah, you thought the woman was very nice and the man was very nice, you know, and they were chatting with you about your hometown and you found out that you all come from the same hometown and the person has been to Africa before and the person has been a missionary. His grandfather was a missionary in your hometown or something like that. And you felt like you really connected. And so you left the place with an assurance that the job was yours. You know, and you left the place singing praises to the Most High and dancing and rejoicing that God has turned your mourning into dancing. And then you find out that it does not turn out that way. You get it? And when you've had 1, 2, 3 of those, then you start to be haunted by a spirit of rejection. Do you understand? That wants to follow you and tell you that, look, you are not the type that will make it in this place. Wow. Are you getting what I'm saying? How many can relate with what I'm saying? Yeah. They tell you that you are not the type. It's not going to work. Do you get it? It's not going to work. They don't like you. Every time you go for interview, the same story. You see. So don't even try. They said, don't even try to go for the interview anymore. So this rejection makes you have a low self-esteem. It makes you begin to feel that you don't make a difference anywhere. Do you understand? Nobody wants you. Nobody likes you. You are not good for anything. Hallelujah. But I want you to understand that that again makes you attractive to God. Hallelujah. That the fact that you've been rejected before does not mean that you don't make a difference. God uses people who have been rejected by people. Hallelujah. Have you heard this verse before that said, the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? Hallelujah. That sometimes, because of what God intends to use you to do, He actually rather allows you to be rejected by all others so that only He can have you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, because it is when God intended to make the chief cornerstone, it became the stone that everybody else rejected. And yet that was the stone that was going to bring the whole thing together. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. So sometimes when you've been rejected by people, it's rather an opportunity, because God makes nobody take you so that he can have you to himself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. So that makes you very special to him. Moses was used by God, but he had been rejected by the people of Egypt. You understand? Let's read Exodus chapter 2 and verse 12, and you see it right there. Exodus chapter 2, verse 12. Verse 12, verse 13, and verse 14. It says, and he looked this way and that way. Do you see that? He looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Do you see? Here is a very confident person. I can beat you type of person. You get it? He has the confidence. I can kill this guy. I can break his neck. You just leave him for me. You see? So he looked this way and he looked that way. And he thought, this is a fast one. I can just finish this guy off real quick. Just two blows and he will not survive. Do you see? He believed himself. You must have a certain confidence to be able to look this, only just this way and that way, and then you just finish. You get it? Because when you, anything, if you look this way and that way, usually it's because whatever you're going to do is a quick job. So you just need a quick look this way and a quick look that way. Like sometimes when you want to cross the road, you look this way and that way. Then you look this way again, and then you just cross. Because it's just a quick thing. You don't have to study the pattern of the traffic, and then you don't have to do any long studies. You get it? And Moses had that type of confidence. This guy, I can beat him. He was looking at the guy from afar and said, this guy can kill him. In 2 minutes, I'll be done with him. You know? So he looked this way and that way. And when nobody was looking, he slew the Egyptian and then he hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Do you get it? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. You see, so Moses thought it was a secret. He did not know that people knew it. Do you understand? But as you can see, he's trying to just intervene in a problem, just trying to be civil with these two guys and trying to settle their fight for them. And they reject him. They don't accept him as their judge. Who has made you a judge over us? Who has appointed you to come and resolve our issues? Do you understand? Who told you have wisdom to come and separate our fight? Do you understand? And that type of rejection pushed him away. In fact, it pushed him away so far. He went all the way into the wilderness, which is where God found him. Can I have an amen? So God uses rejected people. And so if you have been rejected before, know that you can still make a difference to this work. Can I have an amen? Next one is that God uses people who are not believable. God uses people who are not credible. God uses people who are not believable. Hallelujah. God uses people who are not believable. When Moses went into the wilderness, he went and then he had an encounter with God. And then God said, I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you to a place. I'm going to send you and I want you to go and do this for me. And when God said he was going to send him in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1, Moses says to the Lord, but behold, they will not believe me. They will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto thee. Hallelujah. Now, the reason why some of us don't feel so sure that God is using us or will use us in this project, in this great work, is because we don't think we are believable. We don't think we have a track record, you know, that makes anybody, or that makes us credible to anybody. You understand? We don't think that if we invite people or talk to people or tell them about Christ or bring them to our church, they'll believe us. We often feel that maybe if the pastor was to say it, do you understand, they would believe them. But me, they are so used to me. One of the reasons why we don't invite people from our workplaces is because we don't think they'll believe us. We don't think they'll believe that we have truly found a life in Christ that is better than the life they are living if they don't know Christ. Hallelujah. So we don't think that they'll believe us. And Moses also felt that, no, if I go and tell them, if, no matter what I say, they will not believe me. They will not believe that God is the one who has sent me. They will not believe that God is the one, or that I've even heard the voice of God. Hallelujah. They will not believe me. Hallelujah. So you can see that you and Moses have quite a lot in common, isn't it? That you feel that you are not credible. You feel that there is nothing special about you. You get it? You haven't had any special experiences that make or challenge anybody, you know, to even take you seriously. Are you following what I'm saying? You wish you had some experiences or something to say or something to show that makes people take you a bit more seriously and that makes people believe you. But God is saying to you tonight that you do not need that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You do not need that. All you need to do is just to obey. Hallelujah. Amen. So every time you feel that prompting where God is leading you, you feel the prompting. Invite this person. Talk to this person. You know, evangelize this person. Sometimes you are not even sure that God is the one speaking. Do you understand? But you feel it. You feel something. You feel, the other day I met, you know, a young boy, teenager. You know, I was with him for like an hour and a half or something. I remember when I left him, I just felt this thing that this boy, I should have spoken to him about Christ. I really felt it so strongly, you know. So I parked my car and I prayed for him so that the next person who meets him should try and, you know, speak to him. But I felt that, you know, that was a chance or opportunity that I really missed or let go. Do you understand? Yeah, and it's because you think that they will not believe you. Do you understand? They will not believe you. They will not receive what you're saying. And that has kept many of us from being a great witness, many of us from being a tool in the hand of God for even invitations, just normal invitations. Come to church. Do you get it? Because we feel that, no, they won't believe me. They won't believe and receive the things I have to say. Hallelujah. So that's the same feeling that Moses had, and he told the Lord, but the Lord still chose him and used him, and therefore you also will be chosen and used by the Lord. Say amen. Amen. Next one, God uses people with an inferiority complex. God uses people who have an inferiority complex. Okay, people who feel inferior to others. So even if your problem is that you feel inferior to others, maybe at your workplace you are the least. You get it? You are not the boss, you are not a manager, you are not a supervisor. You are just one of the people there. Perhaps the least. Maybe even the doorman. Do you understand? So you feel that you don't matter. You feel that there are certain places in the job or in the office, or there's even certain people you should not even attempt talking to them. Do you understand? So you have a complex. Sometimes the complex comes from how you see yourself. Do you get it? The way you speak, your accent, and other things that you don't like about you. Do you see what I'm saying? And so you assume that everybody does not like that also about you. Are you getting it? So you approach people with a grasshopper mentality, that the person thinks you're a grasshopper. Do you get it? So that's the mind with which you are working. Look at Moses chapter 4 and verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently, nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant." Have you got it? The NASB says, Oh Lord, I am not, this is the King James, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant. Do you get it? That means I've not been eloquent any time in the immediate past, nor in the present, nor since you started talking to me. You get it? Even talking to you has not cured my problem. Do you get it? And then he is the one who is saying that I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. When I lift my tongue, it doesn't lift. Do you get it? I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. You get it? So that is Moses' opinion of himself. Do you get it? He does not think that he can speak in public. He does not think that he has the right words. He does not think that people will take him seriously. He does not think that he has the right presentation. Do you understand? He feels that his accent is too heavy. You get it? Slow of speech and slow of tongue. That means when you lift the tongue, you know, the way others will, by the time you finish saying what you are saying, even the person is gone. Hallelujah. You get it? So Moses felt that, no, Lord, this is the way I see myself. You get it? And of all the problems a man can have, this is the one that he brings out, which means this is the one that bothers him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Because the other ones, like if you were to discuss strength, physical strength, I think he believed he had it. You get it? Yeah. And so when he met those guys, he quickly volunteered it and displayed it. And he was right. But now he's being sent to speak in a palace. And he's saying that, look, my problems have caught up with me finally. I cannot talk. It's not my type of thing. Hallelujah. See, maybe you think that you don't know how to talk. You cannot witness to somebody. You cannot share Christ with somebody. You don't know verses. Do you understand? Some people feel that to be a pastor, you must have raps. As somebody told me one day, I suggested to someone that, you could make a good pastor. And then the person said, no, I don't have raps like you. You get it? Now, in Ghana, when someone says raps, it means I don't have sweet words. You get it? Or I'm not as smooth a talker as you are. Do you get it? But preaching is not smooth talking. It's not the same. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Preaching the word of God or sharing the word of God is not raps. It's not saying a bunch of nice words. Do you understand? No, that's not what it is. It is the Lord giving you inspiration to share with his people as he leads you. Amen. And as the Holy Spirit gives you utterance. And so your thinking about yourself or the way you see yourself can affect you. You get it? Your church can suffer because of what you are not contributing, which is also because of how you are seeing yourself. Do you get it? There are certain people you have not invited because you don't think they'll follow someone like you. Do you get it? You don't think they'll follow someone like you. Meanwhile, the Lord may have touched their hearts and the Lord is preparing them and the Lord is expecting. That is why you are the one he has brought into their lives. And the Lord is hoping that if you only open your mouth and speak and invite them and evangelize them and encourage them and speak to them about Christ and share what you know of Christ with them, that it would make a difference. But you are just thinking that, look, you have never been eloquent, neither recently, nor in time past, nor since the Lord spoke to you. Do you get it? That as for you, speaking is not your thing. Hallelujah. But God wants to use you. God uses people who feel that way about themselves. Say amen. Amen. Number six, God uses people who have failed at earlier attempts in ministry. You see, now the first example of failure we talked about is just failure at anything at all, including failing your exams, failing to pass an interview, failing relationship, failing different things. But this time, we're talking specifically about failing at the ministry. Do you understand? Now, the last time you attempted to evangelize somebody or talk to someone, it became a whole problem. Do you get it? The person asked you a bunch of questions you couldn't answer and you felt very silly. You get it? All your verses were mixed up. You get it? You said, look, John 3:16, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Do you understand? John 1:1, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and open, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. You know, Genesis 1:1, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have abundant life and have it more abundantly. Isn't it? And then John 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. You know. So all your verses were just mixed up. You get it? And when the person said, okay, let's check the, you know, that John 1:1, that sounds very interesting to me. Can we look it up? And then when we looked it up, behold, John 1:1, it was not there. Then you open your eyes wide. And then you want to tell him that the last time it was here. The last time you checked, it was here. You get it? You don't know what has happened to the Bible. Then you explain it. That maybe it's a different version, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's a different version or something, but it used to be here. You see, it used to be that John 1:1 was saying the wages of sin. But, well, it doesn't say it anymore. But trust me, it's somewhere in the Bible. I'm sure it's still in the Bible. It's just moved, but it's still somewhere. Do you see? So when the person did not receive Christ, do you get it? And sent you away and told you that, look, go and get your facts right before you come and talk to someone like me. You felt so humiliated. Do you get it? So humiliated and so failed at the job you set yourself to do that you don't feel like you should try this again. You don't even want people to know you're a Christian before such an argument ever begins. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah, or you try to argue with someone, you know, and there's no need to argue with people. Do you understand? There's no need to argue with people. But maybe you try to share Christ with someone, and then the person asks you a question that you could not answer. And you felt so embarrassed, and all the evangelizing just ended there. Because the person said that this is the reason why I don't go to church. And you didn't have an answer. So that has made you nervous. So when you see people now, you don't want to try. You see, especially they look a little learned. They look like they know what they're about. You know, you don't want one of those questions. You just want to say, will you come to my church? You get it? Yeah, you come. Come and hear the pastor. You just come. I'm not going to discuss this Christ with you because I feel I don't want to make a mockery of myself again. You see, so that failed attempt at doing some ministry work can make you not want to try. Do you understand? It can even make you not want to contribute some gift or talent that you have that could help the church greatly. A new church or a young church or a small church needs a lot of input from everybody. It needs a lot of support from everybody. Do you understand? But you may not want to contribute it, because when you try to contribute it somewhere else previously, it didn't work. Maybe you tried to sing and they laughed at you. You see, the song didn't come out as as you thought it should. Sometimes the words of the song, you got it all mixed up. Do you see? And as the people were listening to you, they realized that what you were singing, it didn't make sense. You get it? Yeah. So, because of that, you have decided that, look, I'm not going to try this anymore. But I want you to know that in spite of having failed before, God uses people who have failed before. Hallelujah. Amen. God uses people who have failed before, people who have tried it and it didn't work. God still uses them. Hallelujah. Exodus 5:22-23. Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil and treated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? You see, why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he has done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Moses had gone and listened to God. God said he should go. He didn't want to go. And then eventually he went. When he went to talk to Pharaoh, then Pharaoh decided that, look, these Israelites, it is because they are idle that they are coming to ask me to go and worship their God. You get it? They don't have enough work to do. That is why they are resorting to these foolish ideas. And so now let's make their work worse. Let's make their work more difficult. Before, we used to make the mortar and things for them and then they'll just do the work. Now let them make their own mortar. You see? So even the plight of the Israelites in Egypt was now worse. And so Moses looked at it as a failure. That when I tried to go and talk to them, to Moses, Pharaoh, to release the people, it rather made everything worse. And because I have made everything worse, I don't want to try it again. That's it. Do you get it? My earlier attempt at, you know, solving the situation or helping the situation didn't work. It made everything worse. And so now I don't get involved with such issues. Hallelujah. Maybe two people were quarreling and then you try to separate them. Then the whole thing became worse. So now you decided that when two people are fighting, they can kill each other. They can kill each other. You get it? You'd rather watch them kill each other and attend their funerals than to attempt to resolve anything based on the previous failure. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Next one. Number 7, God uses people who are not eloquent, isn't it? God uses people who are not eloquent. Even if you are not eloquent, God can still use you to evangelize someone. Amen. God can use you to invite someone to church. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to be articulate. You don't have to speak well. Do you understand? God can use you. Hallelujah. See, watch how in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 6, Jeremiah says, it says, then said I. That's Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 6. Then said I, ah, Lord God. You know, he said, then said I, alas, Lord God. Behold, I do not know how to speak because I'm a youth. Do you get it? I do not know how to speak. I don't know how to speak. You get it? I know what you are asking me to do is a good thing. But I'm not. Why don't you choose some of the other people? Pastor Munene is there, you know. And the other lady pastors, Lady Pastor Sarah is there. Lady Pastor Quelle is there. You know, and if you don't want a lady pastor or a pastor, Akwesi is there, Lord. Just choose him. But what about me? I don't know anything. Are you getting it? And the Lord said to Jeremiah that do not say that. Don't say that. Stop saying that. Hallelujah. Amen. So God is not intimidated and his plans are not thwarted by your inability to speak. Can I have an amen? Amen? Your lack of eloquence does not spoil God's work. Hallelujah. Yeah. If the rocks can cry out, then you can make a difference. You can speak. Hallelujah. And God will use whatever you can say to do what he intends to do. Hallelujah. In that same verse, we find the next one, which is young people. See, this is where the younger ones come in. He says that, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. I'm just a kid, you know. So, I don't make a difference. Hallelujah. But we can see here that God is sending a young person. The guy himself recognizes that he's only a young person. Do you understand? He recognizes, not like he went and someone told him, but you small boy, come here. You get it? But he himself can see that, look, I'm just a kid. Hallelujah. I'm just a kid. But the fact that God is talking to him is itself a statement that God is saying that is not about young or old. Hallelujah. So even though you are young, you can make a difference. Amen. Joel, Jason, Cowie, you all can make a difference in the church. Do you believe it? Do you believe it, guys? You have to believe it. You can make a difference. Many people come to church and they are even inspired when they see you guys around the church. Do you get it? Yeah. Someone did what? Someone blogged about it. What did the person say? They said even the young people were involved. Yeah. Do you get it? So for all you know, that's the thing that touches the person. That when he came to the church, he saw so many things, but the thing that touched him the most was that the young people were also involved. Amen. So you should not turn yourselves into just some noise making, you know, type of people around. Do you get it? You see? But you should believe that you make a difference. Hallelujah. Because God uses young people. Say, God uses young people. Amen. Next one quickly. God also uses people who are afraid. Isn't it? People who are fearful. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 8. He said, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee. Hallelujah. So right there you can see that as the guy was saying, Lord, I can't speak. Do you get it? Then the next thing he says is that I am young. Do you see? So now God tells him the third one, which anybody who is talking, I can't speak, I am young, God knows the real sickness. The real sickness is that he's afraid. You get it? He's afraid. And afraid of what? The faces. Because he doesn't know them. He can't possibly be afraid of the real thing. That is what they can do. Because he doesn't know them. But he's afraid of their presentation. Do you understand? And sometimes we are afraid and intimidated by the presentation of people. The way the person carries himself. Do you get it? The way he's dressed up. Do you get it? With his briefcase that has nothing in it. You get it? Yeah. Sometimes people are going out there and they feel their hands are empty. They feel like they, just to help ease the tension, they would like to hold something. Do you get it? So they just take a briefcase and they empty it. And just because, of course, you don't want to be holding the briefcase, heavy briefcase with so many things in it that you don't need. So they just hold the briefcase. Do you see the thing? And then they'll just be moving around. I remember many years ago, actually, in London, you know, in those days, on the subway, the tube, they call it, there was always a bomb scare. Every time there would be, if anybody left anything on it, it triggered an alarm, you know, and then they would come and check it out and so on. So there was a suitcase, a briefcase that someone had left, you know, by accident on the tube. And so they stopped the tube, they froze the line, they called the police and everything, the bomb squad, and then they come into the train, and then they take the bag and carefully open it, you know, only to find that there was only an apple, just one British man who had taken his lunch and put it in a briefcase and had left it, unfortunately. That is what was holding the whole thing up. You know, so sometimes the way people present can be a bit intimidating. Do you understand? But God wants you not to be afraid of people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God wants you not to be afraid of people. Sometimes the person you're afraid of desperately needs your invitation. They desperately need your introduction to Christ. They need your invitation to church, or even just the suggestion of the whole idea of God, even to the person. Sometimes the person desperately needs it. Do you understand? But he doesn't look it, and he doesn't present that way. But he still is in need. Hallelujah. He needs something that you have. Hallelujah. And so you must not be afraid. The Lord said, "Don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Say amen. Amen. Then the last one for tonight. God uses people who are in difficult circumstances. God uses people who are in difficult circumstances. Hallelujah. People who are in difficult circumstances. We're talking about why, reasons why you can make a difference in the growth of this church. Hallelujah. Now, you may feel that you have difficult circumstances. You may feel that times are tough for you because you have something before you that you have not achieved. Now, things have not turned out as you would like to see them turn out. Things are not as you expect them to be. Have not been as you expected them to be, and you don't know if they are going to be or they will ever be what you expect or would like them to be. Hallelujah. But we see that God is not moved by your circumstances. Amen. God is not affected by your difficult circumstances. That in spite of your difficult circumstances, God can still use you. And God can still choose you, and God can still make good use of you. Hallelujah. And you can make a great contribution to his work. Hallelujah. Now, a good example of that, just before we close, is the story of Gideon, which is what we were reading last week. You can find that in Judges chapter 6. But let's read only verse 13 tonight, and then we can close. Judges chapter 6 and verse 13, it says, "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?" You get it? In other words, why are things so difficult? Why is life so tough? If God is interested in me at all, if God is interested in me, if God is going to use me, if God's hand is with me, how come he's with me when I'm evangelizing and he's not with me when I attend an interview? Where is he when I go for the interviews? You say that God is with me and God wants to use me. How come when I go to an interview, I don't feel him? But you are making me believe that when I try to talk to just this gentleman about Christ, he will suddenly show up. Do you get it? So God is still with us. That's a question that you may ask, but the answer is that God is still with you. That's the question Gideon asked. He says, "And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath, he says, but now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. Hallelujah. The Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. And things are very difficult for us. We can't even eat. Do you see? We can't eat in peace. Last week you saw how they were hiding in caves and so on just to prepare their food. You see? So here is a person who felt that the way times are tough, it's not likely that God is anywhere around, let alone that he is interested in using me to do anything. Hallelujah. But how wrong he was. Because in spite of his difficult circumstances, God had zeroed in right on him. Amen. In spite of the exams he wasn't writing or writing and not doing well, in spite of all the difficult things, not finding a job, attending interviews, not being taken, in spite of being fired from jobs, different circumstances, different financial situations, God had still zeroed in on him. I want this guy. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So God is still interested in you. God is still interested in you. God still feels that you can make a big difference in spite of your difficult circumstances. Hallelujah. And you need to believe that. You need to believe that in spite of how things may be, in spite of how difficult the times may be, God is still interested in me. And if I'll make myself available to him, he will use me and bless me. Can I have an amen? Do you believe God can bless you? Do you believe that God will bless you? Do you believe God is able to bless you? Do you believe God blesses people? Hallelujah. You have to believe it. Amen. Otherwise, you shouldn't go to church. Hallelujah. You should not become an idol worshiper. Even idol worshippers believe that the idols will bless them. Isn't it? That's why they spend time believing. They are often very, very heavily engaged in saving the idols. But they still believe that this idol who depends on them for their salvation can actually save them too. Do you get it? They believe it. How much more you have a God who does not need you to be God. Do you see? He does not depend on you. He doesn't depend on you to arrive at a place. The idols, if their worshippers don't move them, they don't go. So you can actually go to the shrine and forget the God at home. You've left him at home. So where is the God? He didn't come to church today. We forgot him. He's in the house. But our God is not like that. He does not need us to carry him anywhere. Amen. He is in us and we bring him along with us. But by the time we get there, we find him to be already there. Because he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there already. Can I have an amen? So I want you to believe these things, that you as you are and your life as it is does not stop God from using you. That you are right in the heart of his plan, and you are critical for the achieving of what he has set himself to achieve in this city with this church. Amen. So you should rise up and play your part. Rise up and do your best. Hallelujah. Take every opportunity you have and every chance you get to contribute what you can to the church and to the work, in inviting people, praying for the church. Remember that even your prayers count. Amen. Your prayers may not be long, but they count. Hallelujah. They may not be long. They may not even be regular, but they still count. Hallelujah. God will use anything he'll find. And if that is what he has, that's exactly what he will use. Amen. So stand to your feet tonight and let's pray as we bring the service to a close. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. So bow your heads with me, everybody, and begin to pray that and offer yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, I realize that I am also included. I can be used by you. So I pray, Lord, that you will use me. Help me to play my role in this church, in this congregation. Help me. Help me, O God, to fulfill my part. Thank you that my past failures, my rejection, my youthfulness, my fears, none of these things has stopped you from choosing me. My lack of eloquence, my inability to speak in public, to speak in front of people, even my lack of knowledge of the scriptures, the fact that I don't know the scriptures that lead to salvation, the fact that I don't have the answers to all the questions people may ask, none of those has stopped you from choosing me. And that is the reason why, Lord, I am offering myself. I'm offering myself. I'm offering myself tonight to you, that if you can use anyone or if you can use anything, then use me, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that you will use me. Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Father, we offer you our lives tonight and we ask that you will use us. If you can use anyone, if you can use anything, if you can use fearful people, non-eloquent people, non-scripture knowing people, if you can use failures, people who have failed at ministry before, people who've been rejected, if you can use any of these things we have mentioned, as you have demonstrated in the Bible, if you can use even young people, then Lord, we're offering ourselves to you tonight, that you will use us a bit more. Father, use us more. Use us more. If you can use our prayers, then use it. Make us pray. Inspire us to pray. If you can use our opportunities at work, then Lord, create them for us, if you can use the opportunities you've given us, the jobs, the people, the colleagues, the people you've surrounded our lives with, if you can use any of those, Lord, then we offer them to you. Please use them for your glory in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Are you blessed tonight? Are you glad you came to church? All right. Okay, let's receive our offering. And then, do you have the script there? Yeah. I laid them down before you, O Lord, all my regrets, all my acclaim.